The question for the day, what does God look like? There's a great story in Chicken Soup for the Soul. Little boy tells his mother that he wants to meet God. So he knows it's going to be a long journey, and so he packs up his suitcase with his favorite foods, Twinkies and root beer. Puts it all in the suitcase and in his little red wagon, and he goes out to meet God. Well, it only takes a couple of blocks, and he sees an old lady who's sitting there on a park bench, and she's feeding the pigeons, just sitting there with a sad and lonely face. And well, he decides to sit down beside her, and he opens up the suitcase, and he takes out one of those Twinkies, and he gives it to her. And she has this big smile on her face. And he thinks to himself, wow, that was kind of nice, so I think I'll give her some of my root beer, too. And he does, and she has an even bigger smile on her face. Well, the two of them just sit there all afternoon, feeding the pigeons, eating Twinkies, and drinking root beer. Well, finally, it's getting dark, and the little boy knows that it's time for him to go home. And so he packs up the suitcase, the Twinkies, and the root beer, and puts it all in his little red wagon, and away he goes. But after a couple of steps, he turns around, and he runs back, and he gives the old woman a big hug, and he sees the biggest smile of all. He goes home that night, and his mother sees that he is extremely happy, and so she asks him, how'd your day go? He said, well, I had lunch with God, and she has the biggest smile I have ever seen. About the same time, the old lady gets home, and she's living with her son, and he sees this huge smile on her face, and he asks her, so what'd you do all day? And she said, well, I had lunch with God, but you know, he's a lot younger than what I expected. What does God look like? Who does God resemble? And where do we see the face of Christ most clearly? Well, we'll learn, of course, that we can see the face of Christ in anyone, and I hope that we do. But if we look at our scripture for today, we get a clue as to where we might see it the most clearly. Jesus said, and the king will answer them, truly I tell you, as you did it for one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. In the parable, we learn that God sees those who trust in the Father through the Son, the sheep. Though in so many ways we're no different than those that he sees as goats. The sheep are going to go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. The goats are going to go to hell, to the place of eternal fire. And at first glance, they don't look a whole lot different. Really, it's only the attitude of these people as they look at the least, as they give them food and shelter and clothing. And so Jesus says, you are going to be blessed, not because of what you have done, but because God sees you differently. He sees you as his children, and as you trust in him, you will receive all the blessings that God would give to his only son. As we take a look at our notes, there are a few things that I would like for you to take away this morning. First of all, it is this. We are blessed. Now, I could say that about anyone who lives in America. Regardless of our economic condition, regardless of our circumstances, because we have more materially than 97% of the people in the world. Things that we take for granted. Other people around the world have to work for and fight for on a daily basis. Place to live. Food. A roof over their head. Even clean water. If you check in with the Team World Vision at the end of our service, you'll get a clue as to how difficult it is in most parts of the world, just to have clean water to drink, water to wash your clothes, water to cook your food. And so, first of all, we are immensely blessed materially, but even more so and far, far more important is that we are blessed spiritually because God sees us as sheep. Indeed, He sees us as the brothers and the sisters of Jesus Himself because we are blessed to know the good news that there is a God who loves us, that there is a God who loved us so much that He would send His Son to die for us. So all of our sins would be forgiven. So we would have new life. So we would have salvation. Yes, even when we have disobeyed our Father. Oh, we know the story so well, but it's good for us to reflect and remember. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1. Every day, God said, and it was. And after He created, God looked and He said, "Behold, it is good." And then on the sixth day, the apple of God's eye, the pinnacle of His creation, human beings, Adam and Eve. And He looks at him and He says, "Behold, it is very good. It's the best. This is why I made the world in the first place. It's for you, my children." And then what did children do? They messed it up. And I thought, oh, I'm like God. I want to act like God. And so God said, "Don't eat from this one tree. But if I'm God, I can eat from any tree." So I think I will. And so they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin came into the world. And all of its consequences, thorns and thistles. You ever think that wouldn't be any weeds if it weren't for sin? Wouldn't have to till the ground. Things just grow. It's all there, right for the taking. And pain. The Bible says pain in childbirth, but there's all kinds of pain beyond that. I know for us guys, none of it's as bad as childbirth. And on it goes. Natural disasters, things that God had in control only for good, now He allows for destruction. Floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, fire, and ultimately death. But then we go to the next verses. And we see that God has always had a plan for His children. This is the good news. We are so blessed. We deserve to be treated like the goats, to be cast into the eternal fire, and yet God treats us as sheep, and even more than sheep, as His children, as brothers and sisters of Christ. Even when we disobeyed, God sent His Son to bring us back home and to be with us every step of the way. So we begin with this. We are blessed. Don't ever forget that. We are so blessed. And then we are blessed to be a blessing to others. We are called to bless others. It is so wonderful that God considers us His children, treats us as sheep, gives us all of these things, and we get doubly blessed as we get to share them with others. And how do we do that? Simply by living like Christ. When we look at others as Christ would look at them. But not just through the eyes of Jesus to see those who are in need, but then also to have the heart of Jesus to do something. As Ray said in the video, when Frank asked, "Is this a good idea?" Well, if someone is in need, it's always a good idea. Having the heart of Jesus Christ. Now, we can begin with those who are close to us, and for some it's easy, for others it's a little bit more difficult. Begin with your family and see the face of Christ in them, and then your friends, and then your neighbors. Now, when I was growing up on the farm, Sunday we'd have worship, 10:30, Blackburn, Missouri, population 314, almost all Lutherans. Very little crime in that town. Then afterwards, we go out to dinner, usually home, have our family, the seven of us, sometimes cousins, aunt and uncle, grandma and grandpa, neighbors. Remember from a couple of weeks ago, we had the parable about not always just having the rich over, but have the poor as well because they can't pay you back. Well, you got to pay back neighbors. They have you over, you have them over. Well, we had some really boring neighbors. Sorry. I remember one time in particular. Now, usually we would have some, you know, fried chicken or roast beef, mashed potatoes, gravy. Anybody getting hungry yet? Biscuits, butter, ice cold milk, apple pie and ice cream after. Well, we had these neighbors over, and usually the nap came right after dinner. We were having the nap during dinner. Oh, my God, it was so terrible. My younger brother, he's an attorney, always had the gift of levity. And so I remember this one time with these boring neighbors. He says, "You see, Mom, nobody even noticed that the expiration date on the turkey was 4 months ago." Well, here's a better idea. Sunday dinner is a great time for family fellowship and inviting friends. But let's see our family and friends not just as family and friends, but as honored guests, right? Honored guests. And give thanks for them. Yes, even the boring neighbors. And yes, even strangers. Even the poor. Even those who sometimes annoy us or irritate us are seemingly always who are in need. We are called to look at strangers through the eyes and the heart of Jesus. There's an old Irish legend. King has no heir. Now, usually it's a son who becomes the king. He has no heir whatsoever, and yet he knows that someone needs to take the throne, and it has to be someone who is qualified. And so he issues a decree throughout the kingdom. It's posted everywhere. Any eligible young man can apply to be the king. And everything that is the king's will be his. But there's only two real requirements. The young man has to love God and love the poor. Well, there was one particular young man. He loved God and he loved the poor, but he also happened to be poor himself. And so he wondered how he could make the journey. It was at least a month away. It would take him that long to get there. He didn't have enough food. He certainly didn't have the right attire for a kingly interview. And so he prayed about it, and the only conclusion that he could come to was that he needed to beg. And so he did. And he got all the provisions for his journey, even a nice wool coat because it was during the winter, and off he went. And it did take about a month, and he'd used up most of his food. And now, just as he got to the bottom of the hill where the palace sat, there was a beggar. And he was sitting along the side of the road. He was an old man. All he had on were some old tattered clothes and this old ragged, very thin coat. And he reached out and he said, "Young man, I'm hungry and I'm cold." And the man looked at him with compassion. And so he gave him some food. And not just for that day, but for the next week and for the next month, all the food that he would need for his return journey. And he took off his outer clothing and he exchanged it with the poor beggar. And he put on his tattered coat. And then he continued on to the palace, and the guards let him in through the gate, and they took him to a visiting area, and he waited for his interview with the king. Finally, he went in, and he saw the king, and he bowed down with proper honor and respect. And when he looked up, he saw the face of the beggar. And he asked, "Why did you do this?" And the king said, "I needed to know your heart, that you truly loved God and that you loved the poor." We are called to look at strangers through the eyes and the heart of Jesus. What a surprise it must have been when that young man saw the face of the king. It reminds me of a great story that a pastor friend of mine told me. He has a little four-year-old named Courtney. Dad, you know exactly how this works. Your little daughter comes up to you, and you'll do whatever she says, right? She runs into the living room. He's sitting there in the lazy boy reading a book, so he's a little bit distracted, and she says, "Daddy, Daddy, I've got this great flavored chapstick I want you to try." So he's all right. So he puts it on, and he notices it's a little bit sour. But he thought, well, it feels really good, so I'll put a little more on there. About that time, Courtney's mom, his wife, she comes running in and she says, "Courtney, where's the glue stick?" Surprise! My friends, that's what it's going to be like on the last day. Certainly for the goats, when Jesus says, "You are cast into the lake of fire because you did not feed me or give me a drink. You didn't welcome me in. You didn't give me clothing when I needed it." And they'll say, "When did we see you? Hungry or thirsty or needing clothing or a place to stay?" And he'll say, "When you did not do any of these for the least of these, my brothers." And we'll be just as surprised as sheep when the Lord appoints at us. And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's kingdom. All of this is yours as brothers and sisters in Christ for all that you did for me." And I'll say, "When did we do any of those things? When did we feed you or give you something to drink? When did we give you clothing? When did we welcome you in?" And he'll say, "When you did to the least of these, my brothers, it was as if you did it to me." My friends, let's not wait till the last day. Let's meet Jesus every day. And let's see his face in our family, in our friends, in our neighbors, even the boring ones. Yes, even in strangers. Even in those who annoy us and irritate us and seemingly get in the way. Because you see, we are called to treat them all as if they are the King, Jesus himself. I'll end with this. There was an old woman. She was sitting on the porch, reading her Bible there in the afternoon sun. Two little boys come along, and the one kind of nudges the other, and he says, "That's my grandma. She's studying for her final exam." It's wonderful that we know the Bible, and well, we should. We should know all of its content, but even more, we should know its author. And all the rest only becomes trivia if we don't see that author, if we don't see the face of Jesus in the people that we meet every day. There are two empty blanks there in your notes. I hope that this week, through prayerful consideration, you can add two more names that might be the face of Jesus. May you have his eyes and his heart as you serve those in need. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.